Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer, in whose name I pray. Amen. From the letter to the church at Ephesus, chapter 4, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body in Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness in deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from who the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. A couple of months ago, I had the privilege of baptizing Mackenzie and Kevin on a Sunday when Pastor Bart had the flu. On that Sunday, I also preached that Madison Square was doing something incredibly well. I praised your lifestyle evangelism that has been drawing people in and growing this church. But at the end of that sermon, I challenged you. I asked if we could be a place where people who are journeying on their way can come and ask questions, and if we can be a place where people who have doubts not only feel safe but normal, and if we can be a place where people can be authentically themselves, whatever that means on a particular day, and break bread together and be humble and honest about our mistakes and choose to love each other despite all the mess it causes. You told me you could. You promised that you would welcome vast diversity and make everyone feel welcome. But I hope you didn't just say yes so I would finish the sermon and sit down. Because I'm not the kind of person who forgets what you promised. I have a pretty decent memory. So, are you still being true to your challenges? I ask because it happens to be an important part of the service today. The letter to the Ephesians, as Pastor Bart has pointed out recently, is not just to the Ephesians, but to numerous churches. And while it's definitely written in Pauline style, it probably wasn't written by Paul. In fact, some scholars argue that it was written after Paul's death. And at a time like that, when the first century church was fragile, maintaining the unity and diversity that Peter and Paul and John and others fought so hard for was the key to its survival. Jesus and his disciples, too, knew that the church is stronger together. I think I heard that a lot in 2016, stronger together. It's a very Christian concept. I just can't remember where I heard it. Historically, the Christian church has ignored this plea in Ephesus. Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. even said, "We must face the fact that in America," he said, "the church is still the most segregated major institution in America." at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, when we stand and sing that in Christ there is no East or West, we stand at the most segregated hour in this nation. This is tragic, he says. And as part of a study on segregation, a research company found that only about a third of Americans who regularly attend a house of worship have attended one where they were a minority. And among those who attended church as a minority, one in five of those said their ethnicity hindered their involvement in their church. This kind of statistic is heartbreaking. And I have news for those who feel that way. Good luck in heaven. If your ethnicity as a minority in a congregation hinders your involvement, you're going to spend eternity feeling really awkward. But diversity is one area where Madison Square is really excelling. Look around you right now. We are a congregation that usually runs about 45% non-Caucasian. We usually run about 40% that identify as LGBTQ. Does being in the minority hinder your involvement in this congregation? I hope not. I hope you, all of you, feel like you are Madison Square because you are Madison Square. But let me say too, I don't just see demographic diversity in this church, I see talent diversity. In chapter 2 of Ephesians, the writer says, "For we are what God made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." God has created us and made us able to do good works, and that is to be our way of life. How did God create us? The list we heard earlier said apostles, prophets, evangelists, preachers, and teachers. Now, at this point, a lot of people throw up their hands and say, "The gifts mentioned are out of my league. I'm not one of those folks. I'm not ordained." But my friends, that's where you're wrong. The gifts are for all of us. In verse 7 of chapter 4, it says, "Each of us was given grace to build up the church." Gifts come in all shapes and sizes. Anything that equips the saints for the work of ministry, anything that builds up the body of Christ. And as I mentioned a couple of months ago, you all, each of you who come to Madison Square on Sunday instead of brunch, are at a minimum lifestyle evangelists to me and to the children and youth of this church who watch you worship. When children watch adults worship, they learn through observation. That's why little Sarah stays here instead of going to the nursery. You are living witnesses of Christ. You teach and evangelize just by sitting in your pews. But you are even more than that. You are richly gifted. Let me tell you what else I see from my vantage point. I hear a choir that is incredibly blessed. And I also see individuals in that choir who have other gifts besides their beautiful voices. For example, when Paul sings, I get goosebumps. But did you know he also makes incredible pizza and pottery? When Mark plays, my whole body starts moving. But did you also know he grows bonsai trees and is a remarkably skilled teacher and father? That Angela Odie performs in local theaters, that Frankie volunteers at a food pantry, that Gina Acri can do aerial yoga. There are obvious gifts, people who make blankets for baptisms and graduations, people who are fantastic public speakers, people who cook so well you want to slap your mama. But But there are hundreds of unseen and unheard gifts in this sanctuary right here and now. Published authors, compassionate doctors, foster parents, artists, softball and baseball stars, electricians, musicians, readers. Since we're located downtown, we don't spend a lot of time together outside the 11 o'clock hour on Sundays. We rarely meet on Wednesday nights. We rarely eat together. We don't have vibrant Sunday school classes that meet outside of church for fellowship and mutual support, although we always have at least one adult Sunday school class, sometimes two. Of course, some of you are plugged in, but how many of you right now could confidently name 25 other people in this sanctuary right now? How many of you could name 50? And not because you're wearing name tags. Not, that's cheating. How many of you really know something about them? There's no time like the present. So I'm going to come down here right now and I'm going to mingle with you. I'm looking for some folks who are willing to say their name out loud and the gift that God has given you that could be used for the good of the church. Where's the mic? Where's the mic? Did the mic go to the back? Oh, sorry, Ken's got it. All right, we got it. Tell us a gift that we might not know that you have. Tell us what you're passionate about, but please limit it to one sentence because we still have to do communion after this. Anybody willing? Your name and what you're good at.
Norma Villarreal, besides being up there. Yes, massage therapist and Reiki master.
Who else?
I'm Mackenzie, and I'm a poet.
There you go.
Who has won awards for her poetry?
I'm Esther Lasso Singh, and I'm also a Reiki master, and I love to cook, and I love to talk to people.
Spaz. Just shout it, Spaz.
I'm Spaz, as y'all know. I have been an elder of this church, and I am an AC tech, and I am a mechanic, and I do carpentry.
Did you hear that? AC tech, mechanic, and carpenter. Who else in the back? You shy folks in the back. There we go.
I'm not shy.
You're not shy.
I'm a city activist. I've co-founded a couple of boards, nonprofits, and I'm a veteran activist on the State Board of Democratic. What?
And your name?
Oh, okay. Everybody knows D, maybe not. D Villarubia.
Thank you. Hey, Nikki.
Hi, my name is Nikki, and I'm a certified nurse's assistant. I love to nurture and care for others.
Every one of you has talent.
I'm a lover of history, and the history in this church is amazing.
Amen to that.
Hi, I'm Mac Holmes, and I like ministering to the kids.
I'm Roxana Ramirez, and I am a marriage and family therapist that specializes in working with kids.
Frankie.
Besides running MCC Food Pantry, I also square dance in an all-gay square dance troupe and a clogging instructor.
Oh, woo!
Hi, I'm Sally Hertzberg. I am grandmother to 7, great-grandmother to 14, and great-great-grandmother to 5. I love y'all so much.
Sally, you forgot one.
You go.
Sarah?
You
go. Okay, great great grandmother to six.
There you go. Amen to that. Amen to that. Whoop. For a church of introverts, we are a very talented, very diverse congregation. And those gifts, all of those gifts, are God-given and can be used to bless this body. How many of you did not know about someone's work and talent and think to yourself, I know somebody who could use that? Right? Right? But we are, some of us, many of us, still introverts. And many of you didn't have the opportunity to share with us what your gifts are. So if you are willing, I want you to take a moment to tell the people around you what it is you are blessed with and listen to their gifts too. And then say to each other, your gift comes from God. Will you use it for the body of Christ?
And then he'll hear about you.
Later. Take a moment. Keith, you bicycle, right? Okay, kind of try to wrap it up. Thank you, everybody. Well done. I think we're learning more about each other than I realized. Hi, baby. All right. Excellent. Thank you all, everybody. You are so incredibly talented and so diverse. Madison Square is not perfect. We have a long way to go to continue to invite diversity and be the church we want to be. Just a few years ago, we authored a new mission statement that has as its opening line, the mission of Madison Square Presbyterian Church is to be a community that is open and welcoming to all people without regard for nationality, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity and expression, or socioeconomic status. But if you look around, I do see more diversity and love and talent and faith than in any other sanctuary I've ever been in on my faith journey. Our diversity is our strength. In the first century, Jews and Gentiles worshiping together was absolutely revolutionary. Slaves and free worshiping together was absolutely revolutionary. Men and women worshiping together was absolutely revolutionary. For the writer of Ephesians, this portion of the letter says, look at you. You have been blessed by God. You have come so far in your faith already. Your Christian fellowship is an image of the kingdom of God and heaven itself. Do not fear the differences among you. Celebrate them. Use them to build each other up. It took a long time to fight for the inclusion of Gentiles in the early church, but the unity that they created in the midst of their diversity was a symbol of the hope in Christ that one day the entire world would unite in loving kindness and peace. If a group of believers in the first century could desegregate, break down walls of racism, sexism, class, financial status, etc., then there was still hope in the world. This church has fought for decades to break down walls of racism, sexism, class, financial status, homophobia, and transphobia. So for me, there is still hope in the world. In many ways, we are so much like the church in Ephesus. We are leading the fight for inclusion, and yet, without consistently reaffirming that identity as an inclusive church, week after week, we risk losing all we've worked for. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. By your very courageous and talented lives, you are the prophets and teachers and preachers and lifestyle evangelists of God's love for you to this church, this community, and this world. Amen.